Diddly hey, Homer.
Oh, my God. This dude does the best Flanders. You got the mustache and the diddly. Okay, now do Wiggum.
Homer, it's me, Ned.
All right. The God dude. Hey, I got a question for you. Could Jesus microwave a burrito so hot that he himself could not eat it?
Well, sure, of course he could, but then again, wow, as melon scratchers go, that's a honeydoodle.
TBTL!
Look, I get it. I'm not always fun to be around. I can be loud and abrasive. My breath. The doctors say I have incurable stink tongue.
Right now, I'm only looking for two things. A class on how to make your own papier-mâché pencil holder and an ass to kick. And it looks like I missed the class on how to make your own papier-mâché pencil holder.
The more attention you pay to these things and the more diligent you are, the faster you'll get better and the better you'll feel. See if I'm not right. Thanks for your time. Have a good day.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome, one and all, to a Monday afternoon edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
This whole conversation bothers me.
My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
Ooh.
Coming to you from the Burbank Springs Broadcast Center, perched atop Alabama Hill, in Bellingham, Washington, the Bay City, on a beautiful, gorgeous, sunny, blue day. My goodness, everybody. The crack of the bat, the roar of the crowd. Spring is here.
I'm sorry, I'm tan. I like to be tan. It just feels good.
Tell you who's enjoying it, the pod dog.
I'll say, what's up, dog?
Last I saw her, she was lying in the grass. Maybe we can use this for the show pic today. I know I overly lean on the trope of putting pictures of the pets up on the old show page, but she was lying in the grass in the front yard, and it was, how do I explain it? She was so relaxed in the sunshine that it was like, you know when you, if you're taking like a yoga class or something and you're lying on the mat and they're talking about the idea of just letting your body melt into the floor, but that's sort of figurative. It's not literal. She had literally figured out a way. Well, no, she hadn't. I'm really inside my head about literally at this point. Let me just say this. It appeared that she had found a way to melt into the grass. That was the level of relaxation she was enjoying. The Bay Kitty is not the relaxing type. She's more the shifty, shaky, head on a swivel type. And so she's off doing that. And we're all here doing this, episode 2624 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
So much to talk about on this Monday, including David Copperfield, the magician. He had to reveal in court recently how one of his tricks works.
This is the magic trick, huh?
Illusion, Michael.
It's an illusion. A trick is something else. I had to cut that drop off because I thought we got some young listeners, and I want their parents to be the ones who tell them what whores do for money. I don't want Joe Bluth to tell them through that audio drop. I realize that was more or less the same thing, what I just did, but But I guess we'll just have to live with the repercussions of that together. Also, let's see. Oh, I know. There is a country in Africa near South Africa, a small country. It's known as Swaziland. And they have changed their name because, according to the king of Swaziland, people were they were too often getting confused about if he was from Swaziland or Switzerland.
This is so confusing, Ron.
We'll delve into the brief history of Swaziland and also what their new name will be, which does sound a little bit like a prescription drug. So we will do that. We'll do emails. We'll do V-mails. Oh, yeah, we've got a game we're going to play. As soon as we say hello to this young man.
And here he is, having the time of his life.
Longest running Cobro of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace and their splendor. He's back at it again. With the fish sandwich. He's Andrew Walsh, and he joins us now from the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Hello, my dude.
Hey, Luke. I sounded like I was doing a character there. Did you get my video text message yesterday?
about the the doings going on across the alleyway here?
Was it a video text or was it a text about something? Wait, it had a video on it?
Yeah, I wondered about that. I'll bet you that video didn't go all the way through. It also
worked.
It's working.
Should I play the audio? Should I play the audio of the video for the listeners?
No, there's nothing. There's no sound. It is me quietly, silently filming. Oh, wait for this.
That's what it sounded like.
Filming the apartment across the way. Nothing creepy about that. But the reason I was doing it was, it was the apartment across the way that the man had been hanging out of the window that I accidentally caught on camera a couple of weeks ago. Well, what I realized was, it was a bright, sunny day yesterday. I'm coming down my stairs. We have this big window right by the stairs, and you can't help as you're coming down the stairs to, like, kind of look across the way and kind of into any window in the other building. Most of them have shades or blinds, so it's not a big deal. But the apartment in question I saw, I think, is being fully renovated. I saw a man standing right in the window on a ladder. He had a dust mask on his face. He was maybe scraping something, maybe painting something. And I feel like maybe I shouldn't have even told this, because we thought we had a crazy man across the way, which maybe we do, but it's more like we have a crazy contractor across the way. It looks like, when you're in work mode, you kind of start doing stupid things.
Well, a couple thoughts on that. One, it's still more or less the same thing to me, which is somebody really, really rolled the dice on climbing outside a window high up in the sky, just holding the inside of the window with one hand while they were fully on the outside of the windowsill cleaning something. So that's thing number one. God, we should start a segment.
I like
thing one and thing two. The first thing, God, I don't want to get sued by Hayes again. Is that, yes, it's still dangerous regardless if it was a contractor or somebody who lives there. Second thing, I'm still of the opinion that person could have cleaned that section of the window in a less dangerous way by just opening that window and reaching out from the safety of inside the apartment. Third of all, maybe the segment should be called Third of All.
I like it.
Third of all, I want to hire that contractor, because that guy risked his life to get a smudge off a window. I mean, that guy is absolutely dedicating himself to whatever home improvement project he's been hired to improve.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you said. So there's no need to start a fight here, which I was really itching to do.
Lin Pham, please isolate that and send it to me directly. Courtesy of marsupialgurgle.com. Andrew's saying, I agree with everything you said.
I'll let Lin speak for himself, but I'm actually somewhat concerned about people. I'm not saying this to make you feel bad, but people calling out Lin. I've seen on the Facebook page more than ever before people saying, Lin, there was this drop here. Can you grab this? Can you grab this? Which maybe Lin loves that. I don't know. But I also get the impression that sometimes Lin feels like he started Marsupial Gurgle, and now it's like this kind of burden that he can't give up. So I would say everybody, just respect Lin's
time. All I would
time.
Say is, how do you think TBTL feels?
Hey. But
started from the bottom. Now we're where? I did not think we were still going to be doing this 11 years later.
No,
is my point.
I understand. But anyway, I'll let Lin speak for himself. Maybe he loves it. Maybe he hates it. But if Lin says no, everybody take no for an answer. Anyway, what I was going to say was, I think knowing that there might be construction going on in that apartment makes it somewhat less of a fun narrative to me, because I thought it was just a guy who lived in an apartment who had had enough with a smudge on his window, right? Like somebody who's like, maybe he was washing dishes, maybe he was watching TV, whatever. And then he just sees this thing. He's like, you know what? I've been staring at that bird poop for too long. That dollop of bird poop for too long. I'm just going to take care of it right now.
I hate it when you use dollop in reference to fecal matter.
Nobody's ever going to eat sour cream again who listens to this show.
Well, I know, which is, by the way, your goal.
But knowing, like, I think when I see a contractor or anybody who is dressed in a manner that it seems like they are hired to do labor, I often am seeing them doing, like, daring do things that I would consider to be daring do, like climbing ladders and going up in cranes. I know climbing a ladder is not really daring do to most people, but it is to me. So I think when I realize, oh, this is somebody who's probably used to being in precarious situations, hanging off of ladders, leaning off of scaffolding, whatever. It just sort of seemed a little less fun to me.
See, I don't want to belabor this, but I just feel like that's the extra mile that you go to if you're the homeowner. But a lot of times when you hire somebody to do something, or the apartment owner, like I climbed up on the roof of this house to pry a metal plate off the top of our chimney because the guy we had hired to come look at the chimney wouldn't go up and do it. I think that it was owing to a bad knee, some questionable food decisions on his part. But I'm just saying, when you are someone who's just hired to work somewhere, you usually don't go the extra mile.
That's true.
Or maybe you do. And if you do, it's laudable. And I'm just saying, to find out that this was probably just a guy who was hired to kind of spruce this place up, just tipping the cap. And also saying to him, get yourself some kind of harness and safety rope, because I don't need to watch anyone die in the background of a Hey Dummies video. Didn't I say it was borderline Faces of Death?
Yeah, he did save it. Anyway, Luke, I told you I didn't want to fight about it. I don't know why you insist on this. I you know what? All the listeners heard it. I was trying to be a friendly person. You're the one who made this ugly.
You said, by the way, when we were about to dial up, that you're in a weird frame of mind today, and you said you could explain to me why it is.
I am.
What's going on?
Now, I'm looking at the clock, and we have 4 minutes to break, and I think that is perfect, because I feel like if I start talking about this, I'll go on too long. Let me just tell you it briefly. I just feel generally unsettled today, and I think the reasons are right there in front of me. They involve the new apartment in a couple of ways. Ooh. The first one being garbage. I'm obsessed with our garbage pickup, right? I was a little bit at the last place. Me and my neighbors who lived in the house with us had a system for like who takes out the garbage when and making sure that we get the recycling out on recycling day. Here we are living on a much busier non-residential street. And so far, every week there has been a problem. I think this has been the third. No, maybe this is only the second garbage day. Whatever. No. The first day it was perfect. They picked up everything. Last week they didn't pick up our yard waste, which is in our case is like, you know, kitchen clippings, you know, just compost.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't
like
pick
banana
it up.
Peels and stuff.
Right. So we had to like kind of call and have them come back the next day to do it. But then they did it. I'm like, okay, we're on their radar now. Today was going to be the perfect day. I put out recycling, I put out garbage, and I put out, the compost. And for some reason, they forgot the compost again today. At least I think they did. They haven't come around yet. And they didn't take my garbage either. Now, that's a real problem because our garbage can has no extra room in it. We just moved. We're throwing a lot of stuff away. We're paying for garbage service, which I don't think I've had to do in the past. And I just sort of, and because we're not sharing our garbage with other people, which I'm glad of, I just feel like a lot of responsibility about it, and I want to make sure that it's out there. And I also feel weird because it's such a busy ooh, did you get my good side?
Yes, I did. And by the way, definitely turn down the wrong knob for that. Mic knob down.
Oh, taking the picture down. I was wondering why you paused so long to respond.
Because I was trying to not make that make a sound. But then I instead turned my microphone down.
I am going on way too long. Either way, today, like, they didn't pick up the garbage. They didn't pick up the composting. I'm sure it's not a big deal.
Can I mention that the compost truck and the garbage truck, I believe, are different.
Yeah, so all three are different, too,
so,
I think.
Right, so they may be, like, around here in the Bay City. I know that the people that do our thing, it's like the garbage goes, and then like hours later, the recycling guy comes around. So
yeah.
Is it possible that they just haven't been by for your other can yet?
It is possible, but not probable, because I can hear the trucks when they go by, which is one of the – actually, I don't mind it at all. I kind of like waking up to the sound of traffic here. It gets me up earlier. It makes me feel like I'm waking up to a world that's already busily on its way, so I want to get out of bed as opposed to waking up in kind of a sleepy – Wallingford neighborhood. But anyway, I heard the trucks go by and I heard them making stops in other places. I'm pretty sure they just skipped us again. And it's just,
could you tell based on the sound that was the truck doing the yard waste and food scraps?
I couldn't hear which is which, but I could, well, recycling you can usually tell because it's really clang-bangy, and they did get mine. But then I heard two more trucks go by. Again, it's not definite. You're right. I mean, there's a possibility. I will tell you tomorrow. Tune in tomorrow for the end of this scintillating thing.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that they didn't take it, which, I made a call. If it's not gone by 6 p.m., then they'll come back again the next day to get it. And, I'm sure it'll all work out. But something about the garbage not getting picked up and this idea that, like, oh God, I just have weird garbage anxiety. My washing machine is kind of broken. It's been acting a little bit funky since we got in here, but I haven't been able to put my finger on it. Then something happened this weekend where it wasn't working at all one day, and we let our landlord know. But then, like, 24 hours later, right before he was going to come and look at it, it was working again. But now it's kind of not, it's somewhere between working and not working. And anybody who's had a car that is, like, making a noise, but then you take it to the garage and it won't make the noise anymore. It's just sort of that feeling. And I can't remember. There's
yes,
two,
unsettled.
Oh, yeah. And also our parking permit. I think I already bored you with this story. If not, it's not worth getting into. But we bought a residential parking permit for our new place, which was like $65. And then we realized as soon as it came in the mail that it's expiring in 5 weeks because the expiration date is based on what zone you live in. So I called the, you know, parking people, and they're supposedly going to take care of it for me, and I have a reference number, but I got to hook up with this woman named Jen Bautista, and I left a voicemail for her today. Oh, and my New York Times hasn't shown up for the fourth day in a row, for the fourth week in a row since we moved, and every week they say they're going to take care of it. So I got a little snitty with the New York Times customer service people today. Like, all four of those things, none of which are huge in any way, even combined they're not that big of a deal, but starting the show with you today this afternoon, I just have all four of these things that are just kind of hanging out there. Washing machine, don't know, garbage, I don't know what the situation there is, will I be able to park my car in a couple of weeks, who knows. It's like the New York Times, do I keep paying out the nose for this thing that I'm not even getting on Sunday? It's like it all just feels unsettled.
Absolutely.
Oh shit, things are hard.
I told you it wasn't a good story.
No, that was not. I wasn't subtweeting you there.
I know. I just feel like I was
30
ranting.
Seconds, but now 30 seconds on my garbage woes.
Good, good.
You think I'm joking. So one time, I may have run the garbage guy. They come pretty early here. I think it's like usually by about 7 a.m. towards the latest. So one time I got it down there, and I swear to God I got it down in time, but then I came back and checked it, and the garbage had not been taken. So I called the place, and they said, did you have it out in time? And you know me. I'm not going to say no, because then, like, they're not going to come get it. So I was like, yeah, I think it was out there, which I legitimately think it was out there. So then she's like, all right, I'll send the truck back. And you can tell the guys on the truck were pissed, because written in permanent marker on our garbage can now, which is like, you know, the kind of plastic, the standard kind now. It's plastic. It has a lid that's attached that just lies flat. Written in huge letters is out by 6:30 a.m.
Oh.
And then underlined like three times. They just straight up wrote it on our garbage can.
Ours
just to, like,
says
shame
that
us.
Too,
just,
by the way. I wonder if somebody
this
else
handwritten.
Got it. Yes, ours too. In a white, like, it's almost like a whiteout marker kind of thing. It says out by 7 a.m. or something.
That's hilarious. Yeah, whoever owned that can before you was similar to me, and that they were a slacker and bullshit artist. So here's the thing, though. Take this, SCA Recycling of Bellingham, Washington. Now I know which garbage can is ours, because there's like eight of them out there,
nice.
I could never tell before, and now I'm like, yo, that's ours. So you've helped me. Take that.
Everything
right on that note,
ahead. Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. I like that you inherited a garbage can from a disorganized person.
Or it's maybe a little bit more common than you think, but who knows?
I mean, I know, but at some point, somebody who was the owner of that garbage can did not have it out in time.
Yeah, probably. Because
clearly this is a thing.
Yeah.
I thought that our garbage person just invented this move, but clearly this is a regional thing.
Can I just say one more thing about my garbage cans? Because I want to tell you and the listeners this, against my better judgment, but I don't ever want to have to bring up this topic again, because I already feel ashamed for talking about it so much. But let's just do it now. Let's call this garbage time. You know, like, this is literally garbage time.
That is trademarked by Katie Nolan. But
I know, but
going.
She gave that up, though. I think it might be open.
Let's call it. I'm trying to do some kind of thing one and thing two garbage time hybrid that will violate every single trademark, but I can't. Keep going.
Garbage one. I also just don't like having to put my cans out on such a pedestrian busy commercial street, which I know I'm the one who loves living more in the city, and I'm glad to be away from the more residential neighborhood we used to live in. But so far the only kind of downside, and it hasn't even really been a downside in any kind of detrimental way, is knowing that everybody who walks by with a Starbucks cup, which I found today, or a bag of dog poop or whatever, is going to throw
the dollop of dog poop.
A dollop of dog poop is throwing it away in my garbage can. Now, we've had this conversation on the show before. If you're a dog walker and you have a bag of poo, I think as a living in a society and being a good neighbor, I got to say, sure, go ahead, throw it in my garbage can if it's still on the street. But as the owner of the garbage can, I'm not going to hold a grudge against you if you are the person who did that. But I'm always bummed when I go to pull in my garbage can and I see that somebody's already thrown garbage in it. So I don't like
right.
it. And I also, one of the garbage cans before we moved in was stolen and the city had to replace it. So I'm always just kind of like, I don't want to leave my garbage cans on the street for two full days. I just want them to take them in the morning. I hear the garbage truck. I get nervous. I run downstairs. And I get the garbage cans in right away. And so I don't know.
Yeah, a couple things quickly. It's okay to I think it's okay to throw garbage and other things that are okay to put in the garbage can into someone's garbage can if the garbage is about to get dumped. If it's sitting out there full, no problemo. When it's pristine and empty, that is bad form. Very
bad. You think it's bad? Like, I don't. I mean, I found a Starbucks cup in my empty trash can today. Did I love it? Or no, not my empty trash can because that's still full. Ooh, you almost caught me in a lie. Somebody threw their Starbucks cup in my recycle bin today before I was able to bring it in. But I have enough room in my recycle bin. I can. Oh, her name was on it. It was like Stacy. I can handle Stacy.
Oh my
Starbucks
God.
Cup.
Okay. That's it. We got to find Stacy.
I think she's hanging out the window as
God,
we speak.
I want to tell you, I'm going to tell you a very quick story after the break related to a name on a Starbucks cup that told us that someone we know was still sleeping with someone they shouldn't be.
Ooh, that's
How's the best
tease we've ever had on the show.
See, you're giving yourself grief about garbage talk. It led to that forward pro.
And now all I have to do is edit everything else out and just start the show with your forward promo.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I'll just quickly, let's be honest, it's probably not going to be quick, but I will tell that story. We'll do some top stories, emails, and the, this game, too, from Twitter. Andrew, you posed a question on Twitter, and now I'm going to try to, I guess at what the responses from the listeners were. So that's all coming up in a moment. Stay with us.
Dad, what did you let that man push you around like that? You should have beat him down, down to the ground, down to the ground for that. He said, son, you're still young, and you always jump the gun.
Forgot how much I love this song. Little Pedro the Lion, Big Trucks, in honor of Garbage Truck Talk.
I need to every time, like I know that, like, you know Dave, right? Dave Bazan, he's been on TBTL a lot. I have other friends who are mutual friends with him. I'm just bragging now. I know people who know people, but and I'm always like, oh yeah, I got to listen to Pedro the Lion. I feel like, you know, I've never been a Pedro the Lion listener, and he must have quite a big back catalog now. And I always think it's going to be more like sad, depressing beardcore stuff.
Well,
but
that
it's
is
not. This is great.
I mean, that particular one is a. I think it goes back and forth. I mean, I like the slow stuff too. So there's kind of a mix. Like every song isn't quite that upbeat, but I'd let's see. Yeah, you know, I can. I was trying to think. Is that It's Hard to Find a Friend? I'm trying to remember what album that one's off of, but I whichever
It's
it
Hard
is,
to Find
I
a
love.
Friend is the yeah I got it in front of me here.
That record, I would start there. Personally, I'm a really, really, really big fan of that. And then the other place I would go would be this cassette tape that Dave made, because we went to church together when we were like in high school. He just like made a cassette tape. That's how long ago this was, of just songs he recorded in high school. And it was honestly one of my favorite tapes. I've talked about it on the show before, and I lost it.
Oh.
And I feel like I've asked him about it before, and he's like embarrassed of the songs because, he, you know, like stuff he wrote in high school. But he was legit good music. So anyway.
I didn't realize. So this album came out in the one you're talking about, It's Hard to Find a Friend, came out in 1998. Is that pretty? That must be pretty early. If you guys went to school together, like I graduated in 95. So he was releasing full albums.
Well, he was making. I mean, that was it was quite a time to be making music in Seattle.
Yeah.
You know, grunge was king, and possible show title, by the way. Consider that.
You said before that was perfect, but I already
I also have weird garbage anxiety down as a possible, which I also just think is something to think about for life. You know, most anxiety is sort of garbage.
Yeah.
Stop feeling all that weird garbage anxiety, depending on where you put the emphasis.
Mm-hmm. I'm having garbage anxiety over garbage, unfortunately.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to try to think about how to talk about this. Nah, it's not going to bust anyone. The story of the Starbucks cup. But, oh, man, I would love to give you – if I gave you a couple of specifics, it would start to get dangerously – neither of the people I'm going to mention listen to – or mention kind of in vague terms. Neither of them listen to TBTL, but it's a small enough world that if it got back, they might be annoyed. So let's just put it this way. A friend of me and Carrie's
– that's my wife.
Had been – oh, man. Let me put it this way. Someone we know should not have been sleeping with someone because it had been a bad scene for them. And I was jogging near their house and jogged by a trashed Starbucks cup that had – he had a very unique name. And it was in the weeds with his name written on it, like a half a block from their house. And I came back later and I asked Carrie if those two were still together. And he said, they're not supposed to be. And I said, well, there's a Starbucks cup that says something else.
Well, the you know what bothers me most about this has nothing to do with
littering.
Yeah, why are they littering? Yeah. Why is this person littering?
Again, not good for our friend for a variety of reasons. We didn't even have littering on the list at first.
Wow. All right, I'm going to start naming people. Don't say anything. Just give me a ringing bell when I guess the person.
No, it was Stacy. Same person.
She gets around.
Yeah, exactly. I'm being so kind of weird and tortured because this person who'd written their name on the coffee cup, this was their third name. And by that I mean this is – and this is a person who is, I wouldn't say, maybe now in their 50s, who was married to our friend, who had changed their name three times. This was the third name homeboy was on.
Wait, now I'm confused, but now I'm seriously, I don't want to ask you questions. I don't want to
ask
you.
What I really
want to
tell you is the things this person changed their name from, but that would really – that would make it possible for somebody to figure out
this person just goes around. So the guy has had three different first names. He changes
over
his
the
name.
Course – yeah, about every 10 years he changes his name. Not because he's like, you know, on the run, but just because he's like a he's got some stuff going on, and he's the kind of person who just decides about every 10 years he's ready for a new name.
Wow. I have so many questions, but the more questions I ask, the greater the chances of me working late tonight editing things out of the show that you decide you want out later. So we'll just leave the mystery there.
I'm texting my wife and asking her what this person's various names were. I remember one of them that he changed it to that was ridiculous. So I'm going to text them to you, Andrew. And
okay.
You'll enjoy it.
Okay.
The listeners won't, but you will. Sorry, guys.
And I don't know this person, right? I have no idea who this person is.
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
But if I give you the litany of names, then somebody will be like, oh.
Sure, yeah.
Because, like, it's, you know, again, it's very small. It's a weird – for our relatively limited number of listeners, they know everyone on planet Earth, it turns out, including the guy with the American Airlines pass. Who else? Like, whenever we talk about somebody on the show in particular – when we talk about somebody that we don't want them to hear about the show or what we said about them, that's always a person who someone in our listener universe knows.
I just got your text. It's Pedro, Dave, and Lion. I don't know. I can't figure it out.
Mm-hmm. So should we thank a couple of donors of the day, and should we use it? I'm Only Happy When It Rains by Garbage.
Sure, let me call that up.
That was I said to Andrew during the break, why don't we play Pedro the Lion Big Trucks, because we were talking about garbage trucks. He went more of a Shirley Mansonian direction.
I think they're out touring again or something, aren't they? Don't they have a relatively new –
I'm going to be honest with you. This is probably the only garbage song I could name.
Me too. Well, the other one – actually, I'm going to play this one.
That's not a subtle criticism, by the way, of the band Garbage. I'm just saying I don't know a ton about them.
I always feel like I would like them more if I had given them more time. But it's also this one, Stupid Girl, which I might like even more. Remember this? I'm just seeing these on Spotify, by the way.
Yeah, why not?
This was their first hit, I think.
Oh, yeah. I remember this riff.
I like this. God, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I like this song. Is it a bad form if we play Stupid Girl to thank our donors of the day, both of whom are women?
Yes, it is, but I think they know that we're not talking about them.
Should we play I Am Woman by Helen Reddy?
Okay, let's do that.
Last night, Carrie and I and some of our friends here in Bellingham, whatever, I'll say it. It was, feller Misha Collins, who's on TV, and his wife Vicky, who's amazing. They had a couple tickets to go see Pink Martini here in Bellingham.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a moment that I think reflexively I would tend to make fun of, but there was something really powerful about it, actually. So Pink Martini, you know, they're a band from Portland. I'm sure a lot of our listeners know about them. They're kind of big band, but they perform a lot of kind of songs in other languages. It's a cool thing. But they decided to do the song, I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar. And China Forbes, who's the singer for Pink Martini, just said, any women that want to come up on stage and hang out while we do this, go for it.
Hmm.
And this is like in a 1,500-person theater. And all these women just stream up on the stage and just like hanging out with her on stage, like 100 women. And there's like women who are clearly in chemo and women who've had of all body shapes, sizes, a woman who is older who'd clearly had some facial surgery that had left her face looking different than most faces. And they're just up there friggin' singing Helen Reddy with China Forbes, and the band is just, you know, just banging away on the song. And it was just really beautiful. Carrie and I were talking about it on the drive home. Like, we're the kind of people who stand back from participation usually and kind of mildly criticize the people who are taking a shot because we're good people. This is just a beautiful moment. I really enjoyed it.
Here, let's just imagine it. You know that I've never actually heard this before? I've always heard the phrase, I am woman, hear me roar. I've never actually heard this song.
Really?
Swear to you, this is the first time I've ever heard it.
Let me tell you about a couple of women who are our donors of the day, and you're going to hear them roar. Really, you're going to hear their bank account roar into the TBTL bank account.
Wow.
Thea Anderson of Cedro Woolley. We met Thea at the end of the Vanniversary shows, and she is from, and I think even knows my wife, Carrie Beth Bolden Burbank, from the Cedro Woolley Town. So Thea, thanks for supporting the TBTL family. We really, really appreciate it. Also, Christina Homer from San Francisco, California. Christina donated to the TBTL-a-thon and is making the show possible today. Thea and Christina are both folks, if I understand this right, Andrew, who we sort of somehow managed to not thank when we were going through all of the donors of the day. And so we're doing our very best. I mean, it was hundreds, if not thousands, of names. And so it's always possible that we'll kind of screw something up. Didn't we start to thank Christina, you said, and then went on a tangent and then never fully thanked her?
Yeah, so what I've been doing for people who weren't sure when they were thanked, I've just been checking my database and been like, well, we thanked you on this day. Some people think that some people are getting online thanks because it's a different level. If you donate at a certain level, you get an online thanks, another level, on air, etc. And so I asked people, you know, if you didn't hear it, let me know. And I got a note from Christina saying, hey, you know, not a huge deal, but I don't think you guys ever said my name. And then I go to the database and I do I type in Homer. I'm like, boom, there it is. Christina, we did thank you. But before I ever respond, I actually go.
Christina, you are a woman. Stop complaining.
No,
that was
not
a follow-up for Helen Reddy. No, it didn't do well.
It always feels – it just feels good to be like, oh, nope, here it was. Here's a link to your show. And, you know, I was putting in – I'm just asking for trouble by saying this because now – I'm going to get more emails, but like I'll go through and make sure that we actually did thank. So I look for this segment of the show where we thank people. I fast forward through and then I make sure that we did indeed thank the person who's emailing in. And this time I'm like waiting for us to say Christina Homer's name, but the woman before her town just said A Washington.
Oh, God.
So you and I went on this whole thing of naming literally every city in Washington that began with the letter A? And then it became this quiz because there's only like 9, I think, and you were trying to guess them all, and I was quizzing you. And then we never, I think it, later on we'd say, so we thanked a Christina, but we never said her full name. But actually, though, I got to say, I'm already kind of regretting almost everything that I've participated in with this show today. Like,
what?
I just feel like the garbage talk was boring. I don't know. I just, some days I'm like
not.
That. Well, either way. Sometimes I feel that way, but then a little distance helps because I went back and I was listening to this thing from, I don't know when it was, March maybe, December, maybe further back, and listening to you try to guess the names of Washington states that begin with letter A, like I was legit into it. Like it didn't feel like me anymore. There was enough removal in it that it was just like I was listening to these guys talking. And for the first time today, I realized why people listen to TVTL. So thank you, Christina and Thea, for making that possible for me.
Aw. Christina, Thea, thank you. Thank you for improving Andrew's spirits. Thank you for making TBTL possible. We would not be here without you. Thank you so much. We really, really do appreciate it. I'll tell you a part last night that I maybe was a little bit less generous with was the, like, 400-person conga line that formed for the last song.
Mm.
At the request of the band. If I start talking about this right now, it's going to derail the entire rest of the show, we do have some interesting topics. We have this game we want to play, but the 30-second version is, I spent the drive home from Pink Martini, as I've already kind of mentioned, talking to Carrie about how, for some reason, when people are just having fun and enjoying themselves in a way that I wouldn't personally, I really need to check myself because it's so easy for me to just be so critical of people. Like, the last song for Pink Martini was this song Brazil, and it has a great beat to it. And so they said, let's do a conga line. And people were so stoked about it. And was it the best conga line ever? No. I mean, have you ever seen this many white people this out of rhythm? Also, no, because it may have never. I mean, Guinness should have been there. It was a thing. But it was just a bunch of people having a fun time, being mildly dorky in a way that, I mean, I'm aggressively dorky in other ways. This is just not my particular way. But I was just like, it was hard for me to not just sort of sit there silently judging the whole thing. But again, it's like people are having fun. Why can't I just let people have fun?
Can I say, I think there's something very human about that. I do think that it's somewhat based on personality, though. I think there are some of us who are just more like we have the sarcasm reflex, and I do think it's a reflex. I think it's kind of a self-defense mechanism. But I also think, Luke, that you and I are part of a generation that was the sarcasm generation. Don't you think, like, if you grew up in the 90s, everything was like, you know, like, eye-rolly and kind of cut the other person down. Anything that's kind of mainstream, you cut it down quickly. I feel like
Yeah, the Garofalo generation.
The Garofalo generation. Maybe it's just because I was obsessed with Janine Garofalo, but I definitely feel that
it was the greatest generation, the baby boomers, and then the Garofalo generation, I believe.
Right, right. But, yeah, and now that I'm older, I mean, I'll tell you this. I even go back. Like, I'm such a fan of TBTL, the old radio show. What a weird way of putting that. But, you know, like, you know that. I used to listen all the time. And I love listening to the glory days of you and Jen and Sean. And even that show, which, I mean, Jen's whole mission is and was to cure global loneliness. But, like, well, I mean, Jen's website is called prettysnarky.com, which you can buy stuff still, I think. You should check that out. But I am kind of surprised when I go back and I listen to this, like, wow, you and I are not as mean as I think you guys sometimes were on the show. Maybe mean is a trigger word.
We're more circumspect.
Yeah.
You and I are more circumspect, I think.
And I think it came with age.
The radio days.
And I think it came with age and also where we are in 2018. Yeah. I don't necessarily regret it. Like, I like being a thoughtful person. I like trying to go against my instinct to make fun of something first and instead just try to, you know, have the perspective that you just mentioned. You know what? Let everybody do what they want to do. I really try to live that way. It also might not make as good of radio, though. It might
probably
just be
doesn't.
More fun just to, like, play clips of idiots, you know, doing something on, you know, on competition shows and making fun of them. But I don't. I do think that stuff that brought me a lot of laughs and still doesn't make me uncomfortable to listen to it, it does strike me at how much, like, our tone has changed. And I don't think that – I don't know. I guess I'm just a little surprised by that, by my softness.
You know, the softer side of yeah. us. If I think about things that I've said on the radio or actually even just in my real life, I definitely regret – I don't regret any time I was nice about something. Yeah, I don't regret any time that I was like maybe even a little bit overly like trying to empathize with someone or trying to give someone the benefit of the doubt or trying to withhold snarkiness. I rarely regret that. And you're right. It probably makes worse radio. But
yeah, us being too nice and being too I don't want to step on anybody's toes and all of that. But
right. But I don't I'm with you. If we could have like 5,000 more listeners because we were just like, oh, get out of here with this.
Oh!
But by the way, one of the promos on the Lebatard show, I know it's been over 7 hours since I talked about the damn Lebatard show. One of the promos they play these like 5-second promos that are just random clips of tape from the show. And one of them is just Dan Lebatard talking to Stu Gatz about how truly awful Andrew Dice Clay is as a comedian.
Talk about.
I feel like no one's really talking about that. Like, I mean, it should probably come up once a day. No, that comedy's not good. Not good.
Right.
And I just love that they're just randomly criticizing it. And then they decided to make it. Like, they were like, this is some of our best work. Let's put this in the promo.
Yeah, right. See, that I have no problem making fun of Andrew Dice Clay either. Talking about, yeah. like, who do we
punching
make fun
up.
Of? Exactly. I don't think that he's somebody who we should feel bad about critiquing his comedy stylings. Hey. How about this game?
Let's do this.
I'm very excited about
it. Yeah, can we play this game? I even have a little music for it this time.
Shall we play a game?
Yeah. All right. Here's the deal, Luke. You know, I've been obsessed with Family Feud lately. And by the way...
Well, have you? I mean, you've been mad at it.
No. When I brought up Family Feud the other day, I was astounded by the categories.
Oh, but astounded at it.
It doesn't mean that I didn't like the categories. I was just, my mind was blown.
Oh, I missed. I really misunderstood that. I'm sorry.
Well, no. I mean, maybe I was a little frustrated at it. But I got to say, the structure of Family Feud is an amazing game. I'm a huge fan of it. I grew up watching. Was there somebody in between Dawson and Steve Harvey? I feel like there must have been.
Yeah, Ray Combs. Well, there's a few. There was Ray Combs. I believe there was a Louis Anderson sighting.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't remember who I watched as a kid. I remember liking the show.
You probably watched Richard Dawson.
I think it was Dawson.
Actually, Richard Dawson, and then for a long time it was Ray Combs.
Might have been Combs that I remember, because then I got back into it. Steve Harvey hosted. It feels like a different show in a lot of ways, very much focused on Steve Harvey. But I don't. Listen, I don't love a lot of the stuff Steve Harvey has said and done off air. As a game show host, I think he's a damn good game show host, and I think he's right for that role. And I've been enjoying it, but I also went back, and it turns out that there's a whole channel on Amazon Prime called Buzzer that plays classic game shows from when I was growing up.
You were really, like, Buzzer is to you as the Dan Lebatard show is to me.
Yes. So, I mean...
You were given the hard sell on Friday night. Not in a bad way.
We were talking about that?
You're talking about Super Password, man.
I don't... some parts of Friday night were a little fuzzy. We had a really good time. I don't remember boring you with Buzzer stories. But, yes, it continued on Saturday night. I stayed in and watched Super Password, the one from 1984, which is, again, the structure of Super Password is amazing. The fact that they keep on making these mistakes, they make so many technical errors on the show with, like, contestants saying, guessing when they're not supposed to guess, and then they have to make a decision on the fly whether or not they're going to disqualify.
Like a judgment call of something counts or not?
Yes, technology going haywire, but them not cutting it out of the show and just, like, kind of making up the rules on the fly and saying, okay, well, if you lose, you can come back next week. Like, it is nuts. It's infuriating at times, but also I love how raw it is, and the game itself is really good. So, anyway... I've been obsessed with old game shows. Richard Dawson, I guess I remember that he had a reputation like for being kind of creepy. I couldn't get through one episode of the old Family Feud. As much as I like the format of that show, like, he is awful to watch. Kissing all the ladies on the lips like that? Really?
Oh, by the way, Richard Karn was in there for a minute from Home Improvement, and John O'Hurley, a.k.a. J. Peterman from Seinfeld.
Those
are all people who had the job between Ray Combs and Steve Harvey.
What was Combs' era, though? What were the years? I must have been a Combs guy.
Combs would have been in... he was from... In the 1980s.
Okay, I think that's who I probably saw, because this Dawson guy is... I know I'm late to the game on this one, but the worst.
Yeah, Richard Dawson being, as my mom would call him, a masher. That's well known. That's well trod territory. People always when Richard Dawson's name comes up, people are like, "Oh yeah, he was a guy who was always like making out with the contestants."
It was very uncomfortable at times. Anyway, so I just have had game shows on my mind, including Family Feud, of course. And I tweeted something out. I was like, oh, this would be a good Family Feud question. And then, of course, what happened? Everybody started answering it. And then it occurred to me, oh, some of these people are answering the same one, you know, offering the same answer more than once. What do I have? I have a mini poll. I can play Family Feud with Luke based on this one question. So the question is, what's a TV theme song people love to sing along with? What's a TV theme song people love to sing along with? I got a bunch of different answers, some multiple times, so I guess those are weighted a little bit more. And I'm going to divide it up into two categories. First, I want you to name ones with lyrics. And then I'll ask you again, what's a TV theme song without lyrics that people still sing or hum along with?
I sound distracted because I'm sorry. I don't want to make us talk about this for 10 minutes, but maybe we can just put a pin on this and come back to it later. What I'm realizing here, poking around on the internet for a minute, is that Richard Dawson, the guy that you couldn't watch, and the guy who would make out and be gross to the female contestants, his wife, for 20-some years, Gretchen Johnson, was a contestant on Family Feud. One of those chicks he forced himself upon married him. They had a daughter together.
Oh.
How weird is that?
That is interesting.
Huh. All right. Back to your game.
He had a system. All right. So starting with ones that actually have lyrics, this will be the easiest one. Luke, all you have to do is think, what would people in our audience or people who follow me on Twitter, what answers would they give to what's a TV theme song people love to sing along with? And of course, you have three buzzers. So when you get three wrong, then we're going to have to move on.
So I've got to pick how many, like,
I've got a whole bunch. Yeah. So
the most popular answer of a TV theme song that people like to sing along with.
Yes.
Cheers.
Cheers, my friend, is literally number one. There's the sound effect I was looking for.
Yes.
Cheers is number one. Three people answered that. It's a small sample size. All right. Again, you have three buzzers.
That makes it more impressive that I got it.
You have three buzzers, so keep going.
Want to put some money on this?
Yeah.
I've got to get the other ones.
Just keep naming them. Keep naming nuts.
I'm just going to keep going as long as I can or until I finish the whole list.
You're
going
to keep going until you get three buzzers.
Got it. Okay. Three buzzers. You mean bells.
When you name
How does this
one,
game work?
When you name one that is not on the list, you're going to get one of these. When you get three of those, you're gone.
I name everything on there and don't name three that aren't on there?
I mean, you win with excitement from me. You don't actually have a competitor here, so just see how many you can get right.
All right, fine.
It's going well, though.
Richard Dawson would never have
You know, let's go back to my garbage can. So I can almost see him from where I sit right now, and it looks like there's a crow looking at one.
Is the crow dropping off a Tully's cup? Not cool, Crow.
Okay, so name another.
Okay, sorry. Okay.
Theme song that people
songs,
like to sing along
TV
with.
Theme songs that people like to sing along to. Cheers is number one.
That's right.
I got to turn. Wait, give me one second. It's hard to think of music when there's other music playing. So I'm going
to
pause our game show theme because it's infecting my brain.
That's a good idea.
The Brady Bunch. Is the Brady Bunch on there?
Amazingly, the Brady Bunch is not on there.
Boo, poll takers.
Mm-hmm.
How about Friends?
Friends is on there, I believe. I
think two people suggested Friends, so you're in good company there.
See, Friends is a little bit of a tougher song to sing. See, the Brady Bunch, I think part of why it's so singable is because it's also a simple song. But like the song for Friends, that's the Rembrandts. That's a 90s rock classic.
I'll be there for you.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, like, think about singing along with it. It's not the easiest song.
Yep, out of my range.
Okay, so let's see. Cheers, Friends. I want to say a joke answer, but then I'm going to get a bell, and that won't. I mean, I'll get a buzz, and then I'll only have one more buzz. So let me keep going here. Television shows. So they'd have to have words, obviously.
For this category, yes. Some people gave me ones without words, too. So I want to try that next. But for right now, just focus on songs with words that people like
Banachek?
To sing along to. No, he had a sheepdog.
Ah.
And take your time. I can edit out any dead space if it goes on too long. I want you to have fun with this.
Can you help me narrow down to eras? Like, are we talking, are these mostly 80s, 90s? Are these the hits of the 80s, 90s, and today?
They range from 70s. The 1960s to, ooh. I would say Friends is the most recent one, but a lot of them are 80s.
Got one. Okay. Adam's Family?
You know what? I don't see it on the list, but I'm pretty sure somebody did say that, and I just didn't write it down. So I'm adding that, and I'm giving you the bell.
Da 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 da.
Boom. Boom.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
I think somebody said the Addams Family, so I'm giving you
well,
that.
Well, you said 60s, and so I was thinking maybe of that. Oh, Gilligan's Island, of course.
Gilligan's Island is definitely on there.
Are there other ones from the? No, that's a mute. That's no words. I was gonna. Of course, the Beverly Hillbillies.
Sorry, I don't think anybody said the Beverly Hillbillies. I don't have it on my list.
Boo!
Sorry. See, that's the.
Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed, a poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. Then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground came a bubbling crude oil. That is black gold, Texas tea.
Okay, name a song that Luke likes to sing along to when it comes on the TV. Okay, think about some more 80s.
Okay. 80s. Got one. Three's Company.
I'm sorry, my friend. You burned through those
buzzers. Listeners of Planet Earth. I mean, that's a classic.
All right,
doesn't sing Three's Company when it comes on?
Let me walk you through some of these.
All right, okay.
You take the good, you take the bad.
Oh, Facts of Life.
Facts of Life is actually the one that...
different.
Yep, go ahead.
I was going to say, then I bet you Different Strokes is also on there.
I don't see Different Strokes on here. I'm sorry.
Racism.
How about racism? How about this?
It is alive and well in this country.
The number one answer was Cheers with three responses. Facts of Life, three people submitted. Two people submitted this one. And I'm wondering if this has to do with our audience and the Sean to Tory factor.
Oh, I know. Yep. Perfect Strangers.
Yepers standing tall on the wings of my...
Cousin Laddie.
Don't be ridiculous. All right, this one was sung on stage with you, me, Sean DeTore, and Jen Flash Andrews not all that long ago. When's the only time you've ever seen me sing on stage with you?
I have no memory of being on stage singing with you. That's a true story.
That was a buzz for our friendship. We sang the Golden Girls song.
Oh, yeah.
At the 10-year anniversary show here in Seattle. We got Flintstones. We got Family Ties, which I remember liking the Family Ties, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. Can you?
It's what would we do, baby,
without us?
Sha-na-na-na.
Oh, yeah, that is good.
What would we do, baby, without us?
Yeah.
Did Meredith Baxter Burney, I feel like I thought she wrote the song, too.
Oh,
but I think
I don't think so.
Alan Thicke wrote it, right? Wasn't that the story?
I don't think so.
Alan Thicke was not on Family Ties. That was, what was the show Alan Thicke was on? Because he wrote the song.
Yeah.
Growing Pains. He wrote the Growing Pains theme song.
I didn't know that. Oh.
That's not on the list either. This one I don't think most people would get. This is from my friend Eric in L.A. He's more of an old school kind of cartoon guy. So he said Batman. Actually, that could have been one without lyrics, huh? No, I guess they say Batman.
Well, no, it has na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah.
Na-na-na-na-na.
A word. Happy Days.
Ooh, good one.
Brady Bunch. You said the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, no, I got credit for that, or did I not?
You did not. I gave you one of these for Brady Bunch.
I'm back in the game.
You're
chipping a chair.
Back in the game. All right.
I'm back, baby.
Do you have any more guesses? I can't believe that I did that to you. I'm sorry.
How about this? Could you tell me the ones that are still on the list?
Mm-hmm.
Can we proceed thusly? You tell me the decade and the genre. They're all going to be comedies at this point.
Actually,
right?
I can even do I can do you one better. I can give you a clue. How about this is a 1960s/1970s era spinoff from a very influential show. Both of them comedies, the original and the spinoff. The original was a very influential cultural phenomenon.
Okay, so was the original in the Family?
Watchy, you are right. I am thinking of what spinoff.
I'm trying to think of what was a spinoff from Archie.
They're not moving down.
The Jeffersons.
They're moving on up.
I don't think I remember. I don't think I knew the Jeffersons was a spinoff from All in the Family.
No. Well, no, we're all learning something. Greatest American Hero, I would sing it to you.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a really good one.
I think Bosom Buddies should be on here, too. But that's also, that's a real song, right? Isn't that a Billy Joel song?
What is Bosom Buddies? Can you play it for us?
Yes, let me look this up.
I wonder how much this stands up. I know the idea was that they had to dress as women because they were trying to live in an all-women apartment building, and hijinks ensued. But I want to hear how much of it holds up.
When we first moved to New York, we had a great apartment that was dirt cheap.
And we found out why it was so cheap.
Our friend Amy said there was a great apartment in her building.
Dirt cheap, but it's a hotel for women. Okay, we made one adjustment.
Now these other ladies know us as Buffy and Hildegard.
But they also know us as Kip and Henry, Buffy and Hildy's brothers. I am crazy about the blonde.
This experience is going to make a great book.
This is just Some Like It Hot. They just made it into a TV show.
Why did they dress up like women in Some Like It Hot, though? Wasn't that to get
Yeah, because they're running from the mob.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
They've witnessed a mob killing, and they have to they're escaping to Florida, and they join an all-women's musical orchestra where Marilyn Monroe as Sugar Kowalczyk plays the ukulele, I believe.
Remember this song?
This was Bosom Buddies?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This is Billy Joel, right? I like this.
Is it?
Yeah, Billy Joel's My Life.
I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life.
This might be sung by somebody named Gary Bennett, according to this. This might not be Billy Joel's voice. It's a very, very long intro.
It was re-recorded with Gary Bennett as the vocalist.
Mm, I like it. It's a good intro. It's interesting because I believe the Bosom Buddies intro, which is chock full of little scenes of Scolari and Hanks, the Bosom Buddies,
looking at
going
it.
Around
like,
town.
It's like 2 minutes.
We've talked about these scenes, and I don't think any of them were from the show. I think that they just went out one day. I don't remember if I heard this or if I just have a theory that they just went out and recorded all of these hijinks that they get into around the city for the opening, because that opening was there on the pilot episode long before they recorded any of their shows.
Now on 20 Things You Didn't Know About Bosom Buddies.
Wow.
Would you like 20. To? Well, we've got to work through. Is that the list of songs with lyrics?
Then there's some
songs without lyrics.
Somebody said Green Acres and My Bell Isn't Working. And The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air were the last two on that list.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Give me 20 things we didn't know about Bosom Buddies.
Wow. Well, how about number 4? Marilyn Monroe helped the show get sold. Bosom Buddies was pitched to ABC as a buddy comedy with the tone and humor of Billy Wilder movies. like Some Like It Hot.
No kidding.
The network jumped on the Some Like It Hot reference and wanted producers to make the show they were pitching, but with the lead buddy characters dressing up in women's clothing, a la Jack Lemmon and Tony Curtis. Aside from that big change-up with the premise, Chris Thompson said the network never really interfered with the series again. It ended up being, well, wait a second. Oh, that is, come on, what? Yahoo.com. What? That's, well, think about this. Things you didn't know about Bosom Buddies. Thing number four, Marilyn Monroe helped the show get sold. Marilyn Monroe was, of course, long gone by the time the show was on TV. What they mean is the idea of a movie that featured Marilyn Monroe helped it get sold. But the writing of that, that's a misleading headline.
Absolutely. Yahoo. I expect more from Yahoo News.
How about this? Let's turn the this is the problem. I'm in Alta Vista. This is all. This website died years ago. How about this? How about I turn the quiz game on you for a quick minute, my friend?
Okay.
How much do you think Tom Hanks made on a weekly basis for starring in Bosom Buddies? How much do you think he made per week?
I think it's going to be astonishingly low.
No. It's just.
He made $1 million an episode.
No, you're right. It's astonishingly low.
He wasn't as well known then, obviously. It looks like it only ran for 2 seasons, which I was surprised about, which means it never like was a huge hit where he was renegotiating contracts, probably. So I'm going to say he was making $5,000 an episode.
$2,500 per episode. $2,500.
They're going to laugh at me for going so low. Oh, my God.
Yeah, $2,500.
Wow.
What do you think Tom Hanks' estimated net worth is now? According to, as we've already pointed out, highly dubious source, Yahoo.com.
Does he invest in Bitcoin, do you know? That would help me kind of...
No, but he does own apparently 5 million properties through HUD that he doesn't talk about. So you've been keeping up on the Sean Hannity news.
You know, I saw a headline about that, and you heard the smoke coming out of my ears. I was like, what is that a reference to?
Fuck that guy. Sorry.
Oh, my God. Why am I even doing this? We're not doing this, but we're not doing this, but did you read the Pruitt article in the Times? Was it Friday, Saturday, or Sunday? Just the background of...
No, I did, actually.
Oh, yeah.
But can you imagine what the biggest takeaway for me from the Pruitt article was?
That you were... Oh, did you go and look at the properties? Did you
Of course, dude. There was a link.
Oh, I didn't see
the link. Good Redfin stalking of that. It's called like cottage brick or something.
That was his new his new house that he bought, the 600K
one? It was the 1.8 mil one that he had when he was a... not the one that was near the Capitol, but his own private residence that he got with ill-gotten gains from the minor league baseball team.
Right.
But anyway, we're not getting bogged down on that. We're talking about Bosom Buddies.
We are talking about
a couple more things.
How much is Tom
Hanks
worth?
Currently worth, or at least estimated to be worth, about $400 million.
Wow.
Let's see here.
How much is a picture?
I really want to click on this, but I can't. There's an Adult Swim. I'm looking at a freeze frame from Adult Swim that looks to have. I want to say it's Paul Rudd and Adam Scott playing Bosom Buddies-esque characters. Whoa. And I am now dying to click on this, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
But I'm going to watch it right after the show.
Okay. All right. Did you have any more trivia you wanted to ask me?
I'm just trying to look through. No, you know, this is a really... This whoever wrote this at Yahoo, and I'll tell you exactly who it is. Sorry, Kimberly Potts. I know you're just on your grind. They said... The Bosom Buddies is turning 35. You got to do it. You got to get 20 things. Could I come up with 20 things that people don't know about Bosom Buddies? No, I couldn't. But we're kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
You know what they should do? They should have a word for headlines that exaggerate the payoff of the article.
Nah. You want to hear Tom Hanks singing the Bosom Buddy theme song?
Yeah.
Because this is what I'm talking about. This is like a skit online. So the headline is Tom Hanks did not sing the theme song, but here he is. Singing it. So it's like, that's a thing you didn't know about Bosom Buddies. I don't think anybody thought Tom Hanks sang the theme song. Here's a video of him doing it, so now we're making it a thing you didn't know.
Yeah.
It's actually from 30 Rock.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Tom Hanks, let's see. Tom Hanks was on 30 Rock, and he's watching TV, and Tracy Morgan is on TV. Tom Hanks is knitting, And then I think he starts singing the Bosom Buddies theme.
Hold on. Tracy's back on TV again? Clooney, Hanks, actor emergency. Tracy Jordan's doing TV again. I know. Disappointing. Take him off the official A list. Well, I don't have the password. Pitt's our webmaster. Well, then wake him up! They're doing Pam again? Ugh. I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life. Go!
He's so charming. That's
actually making me laugh, by the way. Just the exact way he's singing the song. Oh, Hanks, what can't you do?
Go ahead with your own life. Leave me alone.
All right. There you go. That's a thing you didn't know about Bosom Buddies.
Anything else interesting on there? Otherwise, I'm going to make you guess. Just get back to guess a couple of non-lyrics. So the question now is, what's a TV theme song that people can...
Law and Order, number one. Law and Order. Law and Order. What?
Who knows? Maybe it's on the list and I just forgot. And I just don't see it again.
That's the guitar part. Okay. Law and Order is another. How about Dragnet?
Do you want
how about Hawaii 5-0?
How does that go?
Dun 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 dun
I'm conflicted. I want to give you. I don't want to buzz you for singing because that's great, but I do have to buzz you because it's not on the list.
What era are these?
Let's see here. I'm going to give you clues for all these. One you would most definitely whistle along to.
Leave It to Beaver. Oh, Andy Griffith Show.
Andy Griffith Show. Leave It to Beaver. There it is.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, last night, Pink Martini, their trombone player was, no joke, one of the more incredible musicians I have seen in a long, long, long time. He was playing music with the trombone and making sounds that I've never heard from that instrument. It was just incredible.
Really?
So musical. Then he just broke out some whistling during one of their songs where he was like, his whistling was its own amazing instrument. It was great.
Yeah, I love the trombone. I used to play the trombone, but I think my parents made me stop because it sounded like farts. Yeah. I know I've told you this before. I think they were just
against
the bass
clef. Can I make your new nickname Trombone Tolly?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, you got Andy Griffith Show. Okay, now think slap bass. Think about slap bass.
Oh, yeah. Slap at a bass. That was going to be my joke during the first round. I was going to be like Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, indeed. And then another one. This is a song that always makes you sad before you even knew what the real lyrics were. But the lyrics were
MASH, Suicide is Painless.
That's exactly right. And now there's one more, and it involves a vehicle.
Oh, Knight Rider. Come on. My Mother the Car.
It's My Mother the Car. No, you're right. It is Knight Rider.
What was the plot of that?
I have
no
idea.
You think I'm joking, but does the mother become a car?
I don't know. Are we both looking it up at the same time? I hear a lot.
Yeah, we are, of course.
Okay,
yeah.
You look up a description. I will look up the opening theme.
Okay. My Mother the Car, starring Jerry Van Dyke.
Oh.
It was only on for one season. Let's listen to the theme for a minute. Oh, his mom was reincarnated, I guess.
Well, you all may think my story is more fiction than it's fact, but believe it or not, my mother did decided she'd come back as a car.
Wow, it's literal.
She's my very own guiding star. A 1928 quarter, that's my mother dear. She helps me through everything I do, and I'm so glad she's here.
I'm going to watch this show tonight.
Well, it's got, you said Jerry Van Dyke. I like Jerry Van Dyke.
Yeah, R.I.P.
Wow.
Let me read you a couple of episodes.
Premise. Yeah.
Let me read. No, man. Are you kidding me? I would watch that. I also love the old theme songs because they really tell you what you need to know.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like this. I mean, what do you know about Seinfeld from boom, ba-dum,
right,
boom,
right.
Boom, 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 boom. I almost made your marsupial gurgle there.
I like that.
Can I read you a couple of episode names from My Mother the Car, which was on for one season?
Yes.
What makes Auntie freeze? Pretty good, right? The
popsicle
defenders.
Dave
learns local vandals who are stripping cars, he spends a sleepless night going to ridiculous lengths to ensure mother's safety.
And that's defenders.
The defenders.
That makes sense.
What makes Auntie freeze? Dave is forced to drive his mother to a mountaintop wedding, but along the way she gets drunk on antifreeze. How is this show not on for more seasons? Burned at the stake, when his mother encourages him to meddle in their quarreling neighbor's affairs, Dave inexplicably winds up breaking up their marriage.
And what's the name? What's the punny name of that one?
That one's Burned at the Stake. I wonder if there's a barbecue. I wonder if they're arguing over how done a steak is.
Yes.
Let's see here. I love the idea that he has to drive his mom to a wedding so she can see the wedding.
Yeah. You just got to park her in a place with a view, I guess.
Exactly. Let me see. A couple more. My son, the ventriloquist. See how they've turned that one around. Mm. Dave is up for with the help of his mother, Dave lands a new client by pretending to be a ventriloquist. And leave it. Whatever. Nobody likes this as much as I do. I'm obsessed with this. Hey, lady, your slip isn't showing. When Captain Manzini manipulates Barbara's mother, it results in the whole family treasure hunting for the Porter. Blah. Now we're too deep in the plot.
Yeah.
So nobody even knows.
And what it's was like, that?
I didn't
called?
Even know there was a Captain Manzini involved.
And I wanted,
that one was called. What's the, hey, lady, your slip isn't showing.
Oh. And what's the job of the guy who landed the account? What do you and Nihar always say? You landed
Jacobson.
The Jacobson account. Maybe that wasn't Nihar. I can't remember what other friend of yours.
Yeah, that was Nihar's joke.
I don't like
100%.
That you have other friends.
They started. You can tell the decline of the show because they start to they're using the same naming convention, which we would never do on
no,
this show.
We would never.
That said, let's see here. My son, the judge, was episode 11, but then my son, the criminal. Mm. Was episode 23.
And also,
can I give you one more?
Yeah, please.
Great name. For Whom the Horn Honks, episode 13.
I like that you're going to be, at
Absorba
home
the Greek.
Absorba the Greek?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
A prudish building owner hires Dave to close down a nightclub he claims is indecent. Dave and Barbara go to check out the place and end up masquerading as exotic Greek dancers.
Wait, he and hires then, him to
how
close
about,
down a club.
When you wish upon a car, mother leads Cindy and Randy to believe she's a genie who makes wishes come true when they rub her with a magic cloth.
I like the idea that, like, well, why wouldn't you fall for something a talking car would tell you? Like, you already have come to grips with the fact that your mom is a car. I assume a talking car. The car must talk.
Oh, it's a story of a man with profound mental illness, by the way.
Oh, it's not funny. Oh, man.
No, it was actually serious.
Oh.
No, I think that was why the show was canceled. People thought it was a comedy.
It was ahead of its time.
Really, it was. Well,
it was a headrest
that's
of its
top
time.
Stories. Possible show title. Write it down, please.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to TBTL.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week, I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man. It's not from a female.
I'm going to just forward these top stories to tomorrow's show sheet, and we'll get through them. Also, we can talk about Nate Silver. You sent this one along. Nate Silver making the call for something called a semi-exclamation point. So we'll do all of that tomorrow. For now, though, Do you have any emails or V-mails that you would like to play for me, my friend?
Yes. Hello. We've been going along. I have so much stuff I want to play for you, but we don't have time for all of it, so I need to pick and choose here. Here's one. This is new, my friend. I like it when people, and I know that you do as well, I think we like it when people call in, kind of like when they're in the middle of something, like if they call in from an airplane seat, or if they just got out of a clean bathroom, or whatever, in the moment. Call us in the moment. Well, here's somebody who's definitely calling us in the moment.
Hey, guys. It's Friday, and I'm listening to the show where you were talking about Elon Musk and his instructions to his workers about how to decide whether or not their time is being well used by meetings. And so I'm testing that theory out right now. Currently there is a conference call going on my phone. I dialed in, I hit mute, and I put it on speaker real, real low so that I can hear when everybody stops talking. And then I turned back up my TVTL and drove out to my next customer, and I'm about to leave the phone just like sitting here on the dashboard while I go in and make my next sales call. And you know, just so you guys can hear it, like hear some of this scintillating content.
So what you can do is you can go in and you can save all of these filters. I mean, to do that, you go to the bottom of the dashboard.
This is the most Burbankian call we've ever gotten. This is something you would do.
You've got a little link you can click on, and right now Mike's already got some different searches set up here, but if you click on that link.
Don't you feel like he's about to tell everybody to put like a happy little bird right here next to the happy little stream? He's instructing us how to use the Dodge Report to find new construction locations, and yeah, I'm just not having it, so power out.
She's going to go inside and leave her car, leave the phone in her car while these people just prattle on. And to just
out it. Episode 17 of My Mother the Car. Dave has a conference call, but his mom ends up closing the Jacobson account when he leaves his phone in the car.
Oh, that was wonderful. I don't think that listener left her name, but thank you so much.
Can
that
we get that going as a thing? I would like people to start recording snippets of their boring conference calls and sending them to us. Do this? Can this be a thing?
Yes. I mean, you know, it's not going to get us in trouble unless we do it.
Exactly.
And we won't.
That's right.
So.
And that was smart of that listener because it wasn't enough. There wasn't enough content for us to really know specifically the industry or person. So like they're not going to get in trouble, I hope.
Can I play one more for you? This was the other thing that just absolutely delighted me today.
Hey, dummies. I was listening to the Friday's episode about pull tabs and explaining that. And we're Midwesterners. My husband grew up in a bar-owning family. They own a dive bar in northeast Minneapolis. Anyway, my husband was taking our four-year-old daughter down to Minneapolis to see the grandparents, and I was out of town, and he told me that he stopped at like a sports bar for pizza because she was hungry and she's very picky and she'll eat pizza. And they were waiting for it and she was kind of bored, and he saw that they had pull tabs. So he got her some pull tabs and get her started off gambling, right? And she pulled a tab that had $100 on it. And he said he picked her up and spun her around. And immediately, you know, he's in the middle of this dive bar. Four-year-old daughter just won $100 on pull tabs. He said he immediately felt like a Steve Buscemi character. So, I don't really have a power out. But I just thought you might enjoy that story. Thanks.
I
believe that definitely happens in Tree's Lounge.
Yeah.
We could have used that friggin' kid at the Pinehurst Pub on Friday. Man.
Oh, yeah.
Pull tabs were no friends of ours. Like, everybody who pulled any tabs just got decimated.
You know, I thought about it later. I don't know. At some point, I was like, oh, man, I haven't pulled tabs in a while. And then I realized, oh, yeah, I was at a tab pulling bar. I didn't even pull any tabs. I guess I don't have to worry about being an addict.
No, you didn't have a baby with you, the lucky baby.
Yeah, no, now I know that's how you do it. You can hear some of those lucky babies.
All right, so that's going to wrap things up, I think, unless there's one else.
No,
one
that's
more.
Good. Well, I'll save some for tomorrow.
Okay. That's going to do it for the show. Show titles, I already mentioned Weird Garbage Anxiety, and then I also wrote down A Buzz for Our Friendship.
Buzz for Our Friendship. I wrote down A Headrest of Its Time. And
that's good.
Started from the bottom, now we're where?
I make that joke too often. I've made a version of that joke on the show. As I was saying it, I was embarrassed of myself.
I was wondering, like, I think we've named some show some kind of play on words with that. Let's go with A Headrest of Its Time then.
I like it a lot.
All right, that's good.
Great. Well, listen, everybody, thanks so much for listening. Oh, we haven't established the going out music.
No, we haven't. Going out music. Let's see here. Well, what was that Billy? Do you want to play the Billy Joel song in its entirety? Leave Me Alone.
How about The Greatest American Hero? Can we go
yes.
with The Greatest American Hero?
Yes.
That's a legit good song, in my opinion.
Yes.
It's just pump everybody up on a Monday. So everybody can
go.
Oh,
Believe It or Not. Is that the name of the song, Believe It or Not?
Maybe. I mean, that's definitely in the lyrics. I feel like it had a different... that's the song.
We got it here. Here it is. Oh, yeah. Good call, my friend.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening today. We sure do appreciate it. We'll be right back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio for you. Until then, please remember, go Mariners, go eat a bagel, and no mountain too tall.
And good luck to you all.
Suddenly I'm up on top of the world. It should have been somebody else. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so free. Flying away on a wing and a prayer. Who could it be? Believe it or not. Like the light of a new day, it hit me from out of the blue, breaking me out of the spell I was in, making all of my wishes come true. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so
power out.